The more stuff I have, the more important I am. If I have a lot of things, I am somebody. And we equate our value with the car we drive, the house we live in, the size of our bank account. It's the possessions trap.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Mark Job, and I want to take a moment today to welcome our new radio listeners. We're receiving emails from people that are joining us, are just starting to listen to this program on a regular basis, and you found out through a friend or just were dialing through some stations and happened to stumble upon it. Well, we welcome you. We're glad that you have joined us. Straight Talk is a program that comes on every Monday through Friday. Our desire is to talk to people straight from the Word of God and go straight to the heart in some practical life-transforming ways. I just want to say that I believe that the Word of God is the inspired, infallible Word, that it doesn't just contain the Word, but it is the Word, that it's not simply a collection of inspirational stories, but it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if you take the teachings of the Word of God and mix them with faith, something tremendous will happen in your life as you begin to be transformed by the power of God.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Today we are continuing on with Pastor Mark's series called Identity Theft with his third message called The Position Trap. Let's jump right in. We'll be in the book of Luke chapter 4. Here's Pastor Mark with today's Straight Talk.
They tell us that last year alone there was nearly 50 billion, not million, billion dollars in identity theft. That means that there's people that swiped credit cards, got ATM numbers, used a false social security number, and robbed someone from some money out of some bank account that was not their own. 50 billion. That is a lot. You know, when I travel, I'm especially very aware of identity theft. In fact, I don't want anybody to take my passport because I don't want to be stuck in some foreign country and not be able to get home to my family. So when I travel around, I don't put my passport in my back pocket or my wallet. I put it in my front pocket or I put it in my sock, you know, just because I don't want anybody to pickpocket me, because I know how easy it is for people to steal your identity and then get a hold of your cash. Or if I'm at an ATM machine, I'll look like this, I'll look like that, I'll cover it with my hand, and I'll do my little code in there. Why? Because I'm guarding against identity theft. And many of us, in the physical realm, we know how to protect our identity. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, often we do not know how to protect ourselves against spiritual identity theft. And I know there's people in this auditorium right now at this moment that your spiritual identity has been stolen from you. And guess what? You don't even know it. You're sitting there kind of nice and easy, and you have been robbed and you don't even know it. And so it's my desire to help return back to you some of the identity that's been stolen from you. I was at an airport not too long ago, and I was talking on the phone, and a guy came up to me, and he looked at me like he knew me, like this, thinking, I don't know who this guy is. He comes up to me, I'm talking on the phone, he says, Andre Agassi. You know who that is, this tennis player? Andre Agassi. No, I said, no. Yeah, you are. You're just kidding me. I know who you are. I said, no. I said, I don't even play amateur tennis. No, I know you are. You're just trying to trick me. I almost said, give me a tennis ball. I'll sign it and go. But I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But you know, our identity oftentimes can get confused. And in the spiritual realm, my identity is stolen from us often. In Luke chapter 4, we started a couple of weeks ago talking about the traps that were hurled at Jesus in order to lure him in to an identity trap. And we saw that the trap of pleasure, the pleasure trap says this: if I feel good, I'm somebody. So a lot of people spend a lot of their time trying to feel good because they feel like if I feel good, I'm somebody. Last week we looked at the possessions trap. The possessions trap says, if I have stuff, And the more stuff I have, the more important I am. If I have a lot of things, I am somebody. And we equate our value with the car we drive, the house we live in, the size of our bank account. It's the possessions trap. I believe that the enemy saved the most devious, most potentially harming trap to hurl at Jesus for last, the third trap. And this trap is called the position trap. The position trap, in essence, says this: I am somebody if I have a position. I am somebody if I have a position or if I have prestige. Look what it says in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. It says, the devil led him, referring to Jesus, to Jerusalem and had him stand in the highest point of the temple. Now, I doubt if this was a physical leading of him. This was probably a spiritual, a dream, a vision kind of leading. But it says, the devil led Jesus to the temptation of being on the highest point of the temple. Now, do you remember the Jewish temple and its background? The temple in Jerusalem that the devil led Jesus to is a temple built by Solomon, who is the son of King David. And it was this mammoth edifice. It was known as almost one of the wonders of the world. It had taken literally dozens of years to build. It had cost a fortune. There was gold that was imported. There was lumber that was brought in. Architects and craftsmen had spent years and years building this mammoth temple that would become the symbol of the place of worship for all the Jewish people. Jews would travel far and wide to come and offer sacrifice at this temple. It was a place that hummed with activity. People would travel to offer incense and burnt offerings there. The high priest and the priest of various rabbinical orders would gather there to do their ceremonies. And so there was always hundreds of people milling around the temple. And the temptation that Satan offered to Jesus was this: I want you to get at the highest pinnacle of the temple, which is 150 feet high. And I want you to envision yourself, Jesus, standing at the very point of that temple. And if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself off the top of the temple. And doesn't even the word of God say that he would send his angels to protect you and hold you up so that you won't get hurt? And so what the enemy was telling Jesus to do was prove you're the Son of God by doing something daring. Prove you're somebody by doing something daring that other people will say, aha, look at how great a feat that is. And he was basically saying, hey, Jesus, if you jump off the pinnacle of the temple, imagine right now you're an unknown nobody. No one knows who Jesus is right now. People think you're a peasant from Galilee that was born out of wedlock. But if you were to do this, if you were to throw yourself in the pinnacle of the temple and say you're diving down and you're about 75 feet down, just skydiving, your hair's blowing, you're about to hit the ground, crowds gathered around watching this guy jump from the top, then suddenly the angels of God will swoop down, grab you by your arms, and then you'll kind of float down to a nice landing. Imagine that for an intro. And then you can give a sermon and give teaching, and listen, everybody's going to listen to you, and everybody's going to say, yeah, yeah, that guy, he's the Son of God. Did you see him throw himself down and he landed okay, didn't get hurt? You see, that was the temptation of the enemy. Here's the subtlety of that. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The position trap tells us, or says this: I have value when I am seen and honored by other people. I have value when I'm seen or honored by other people. You see, this is a very dangerous trap that a lot of us fall into. Because in essence, with what the devil was telling Jesus is, if you do something that's noteworthy, people will honor you, and that way you'll prove that you are somebody. Do you realize that there's a lot of us here in this auditorium today that we get our value from what people think of us? That a lot of us, our identity is based on what people think about us. If people are giving us pats on the back and giving us thumbs up, we think we feel good about ourselves. But if we're getting criticized, or if no one notices us, or if we're not prominent, then we feel bad about ourselves. And people walk into a place where they don't know people, and they think to themselves, I wonder what people are thinking about me. Has that ever happened to you? Go to a party, you don't know anybody. You say, I don't want to go. I don't know anybody. Well, why is it that you don't want to go somewhere where you don't know anybody? Because you're not sure what they're going to think about you. Isn't that true? Do you know what the number one fear in America is? You say death. No. Cancer. No. You know what the number one fear after they've done surveys, number one fear of most people is to stand up in public and speak. You know why that scares us so much? Because this whole idea of standing up in front of strangers that are looking at us and judging us sends shivers down our back. Has that ever happened to you? Oh, I know I've asked people sometimes, hey, would you give a little testimony in front of people? Yeah. You don't know. I freeze up in front of people. You know why? The bottom line is because we're really afraid of what people think about us. Because oftentimes our value is we get our value by what other people are saying or thinking about us. And that is a huge trap. And the devil, in essence, was telling Jesus, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, I want you to prove you're the Son of God. Because if you do something noteworthy, people are going to honor you. And then suddenly you'll have value. Let me tell you the problem with that trap. If you get your value from what people think about you, let me tell you what's true, what will be true about your life. I believe that if you need other people to validate you, and that's where you get your identity, number one, I believe you're going to chase recognition over truth. In other words, you're going to look for recognition rather than looking for truth. Let me put it this way. You're at your job. The boss comes up to you and says, hey, great idea, good thought, I'm glad you came up with it, and you know it wasn't your idea. But instead of saying, oh, no, that was his idea, you say, oh, thanks. Yeah, thank you. No big deal. You know why? Because you're searching for recognition more than you are truth.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled The Position Trap, which is from our series called Identity Theft. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 4. Our message is entitled The Position Trap.
Because what you really need, because as soon as your boss tells you that, you feel like, hey, I've just grown in stature. I'm important now because someone has valued me. Let me tell you what else is true about you. If you get your value from what other people think or say about you, the opposite is true as well. As soon as you get criticism, it can send you into a tailspin downward. Someone comes up to you and gives you a little criticism about your job or something that you're doing, and suddenly you went from being up here to being way down here. That's all you can think about. How could they say that about me? I mean, you think about it the next day and the following day, and you're at work thinking, can you believe they said that to me? I mean, you're rehearsing that over and over. And for 2 weeks straight, that one comment just bothers you. Why? Because someone, what is it? Is it that comment that bothers you? No, what bothers you is that that comment takes away your worth. And if they've criticized you, you feel less valuable because of what they said. And how many of you have done this? Someone says a comment, you didn't say anything back. And then when you're thinking, you say, and this is what I would have said. And you see yourself giving a real good response and digging back at them and them going like this. And you say over and over, and the next time that they said, I would have said this and that. And then I would have told them about this and that and that. Man, I would have put them in their place. You've gone over and over in your mind. You know why? Because when your value is taken by other people, when you get your value from what other people think of you, then criticism really, really hurts you. It sends you in a major depression. It sends you in a tailspin. Let me tell you what else is true if you get your value from people. If you get your value from people, you'll always be stepping on people to try to be number one. If you get your value from people, you always want to be first in line. Hey, you don't want a cookie, you want the biggest cookie. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a grown person. Okay, you don't just want the office, you want the big office. You don't just want a title, you want the big title. And you want to make sure the title sounds important. Why? Because you're trying to get a sense of worth and a sense of identity in your life. And if you're getting it from people, then criticism will bother you. You'll try to put yourself first in life. And what other people think about you is foremost on your mind because you are not secure in who you are. You're bouncing off who you are off of what other people say or think about you. My friends, I think that's even worse than a lot of addictions. Because it hits at the soul, at our very core, the very soul of who we are. And the devil is trying to tempt Jesus with the idea of, Jesus, you know, you're really not somebody unless you have the approval of other people. And the second thing I want you to understand about this trap, the positions trap, is the positions trap tells us this: I have value when I prove it with my actions and my accomplishments. I have value when I prove it with my actions or my accomplishments. You see, the devil tells Jesus, if you are the Son of God. So it's like a dare. Hey, if you really are the Son of God, let's see. Prove it. Throw yourself off. Jump off, if you really are, of course. You know, guys are great at this. They're always daring each other. Oh, you're really a man? Let's see. Prove it. Now, let's see if you can drink 2 kegs. You're really a man? Hey, I dare you to go up to that guy and punch him. You're really a man? Take that away, boys. Hey, take that away. Oh, I dare you. I dare you. Throw that piece of paper at the teacher. You know, always. And there's a part of us that says, I want to prove that I'm somebody. In fact, I believe that the reason that a lot of men are so susceptible to this is I am convinced that there's a lot of men that spend their entire life trying to prove that they're really men. You see, I think maybe there's a shortcoming in our culture. Some cultures have initiation rites where when a young boy reaches a certain age, they do an initiation rite and help them. And after that ceremony, that boy is considered a man. In our culture, we don't have anything like that, really. So I believe there's a lot of young boys that grow up to young men, but they always doubt their masculinity. They never know if they're really a man. And I run into guys that are 300 pounds and muscle-bound and big, gruffy guys that can take on anybody. But you know, in their life, they're always still trying to prove that they're a man. So they do silly things and they do dumb things to prove to others, hey, I'm a man. Because deep inside, they don't really know who they are and they don't have this strong sense of identity that I am a man. I know men that are 45 years old and they're still trying to get the approval of their 80-year-old father. And what they do, and they do things and have a success, what there's mainly on their mind is they want their dad to say, hey, I'm proud of you. Hey, finally you've achieved something. And they spend their whole life chasing after that affirmation, after that fatherly figure that says, hey, I am proud of you. You are somebody. You are a success in my eyes. And some of them will live their whole life chasing after the ghost of a father to say, I'm proud of you. And they'll live their whole life and never hear it. Never hear it. And so the identity trap, this trap tells us, I have value when I prove it with my actions And the devil tells Jesus, if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down from here. And if he really loves you, so to speak, it's implied in this, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. And they will lift up their hands so that you do not strike your foot against the stone. You see, there's a dare there. There's a question. There's a, if you really are the Son of God, this will happen. You see, the devil is trying to define our identity, but no one defines your identity except God. Only God can define your identity. And here's what happens. Let me just tell you what happens when we get our identity, when we're not secure in who we are in God. When you don't know who you are in God and you're not secure in who you are in God, then you spend your life oftentimes trying to prove that you're somebody. And so a lot of people are trying for that office or trying for that position or trying to graduate from that, get that certain degree. And it's great to achieve, and we should be ambitious and we should work hard for God, but not if that's the way we get our value and our identity. Do you understand the difference? You see, I believe that it comes into our religious walk with God as well. I think that a lot of us, what happens is that we enter into Christianity and we're still trying to get our identity and our worth, even our Christianity, and we sort of have a relationship with God that way. So we don't pray because we want to converse with God. We pray because we want to prove to God that we're really Christians. And we come to church, but not because we want to worship, but we come to church because we feel like, all right, I need to prove that I really am a Christian. And I have my devotions and read my Bible, not because I want to grow in the Word, but because I'm trying to prove to God that I really am His follower. Let me tell you, you know what that's called? That's called religion. You know, a lot of people, I've run into people that are very faithful. I've run into people that would go to a religious service every day of their life and pray these prayers every day of their life. And it's been 20 years practicing some religious tradition and trying to be real faithful in it. And when you talk to them, they say, well, I'm just trying to really please God. And I'm trying to, hopefully God will be satisfied with my life. And I'm really trying to please Him. But you know what they lack? Joy. Because when you get in a religious tradition trying to please God, you will lack joy because you're doing it to try to earn points in heaven. And you always have joy. I run into people that are really religious. They've tried to practice things for a long time. But you know what? It looks like they drank a gallon of lime in the morning. How you doing? Good, just trying to follow God. They lack joy. Because their religious tradition isn't birthed out of a heart that really loves God. It's birthed out of a desire to try to measure up to God. And they do things not because they are somebody. They do things to try to prove that they're somebody. There's a big difference. The Pharisees didn't pray because they had a relationship with God. They prayed, and they prayed in public because they wanted people to see them pray in public to prove that they were somebody. You see, when we know who we are, we can give and don't worry about who knows about it. When we're trying to prove we're somebody, we give, but we have to let people know we gave. When you do a good work and you're doing it for God and you know who you are, no one has to know about it. But when you're trying to prove you're somebody, you do a good work and you really hope people are watching you do that good work because you're trying to prove I'm somebody. I'm really spiritual. The Pharisees used to go, and when they fasted, Jesus said that the Pharisees would go, and if they had a day of fasting and prayer, they would go, and they would show up, and they'd wear their worst clothes, and they'd put a little dirt on their face, and they'd try to look very sickly, and then they'd go to a meal, and someone would say, are you okay today? Yeah. You look kind of sick. No, it's not that. Well, what's wrong? Don't you want to eat with us? No, not today. Oh, you're fasting. Oh, you know, you're a spiritual person. Yeah, 4 times in the last 3 weeks. You see, the Pharisees, what they're trying to do is they're trying to prove their spirituality. Because their spirituality comes from what other people think about them. And when they pray, they would pray in public and loud, and they would have long public prayers. And Jesus said to the Pharisee, hey, don't pray loud in public. Go to your home, get in a closet, close the door and pray, because your heavenly Father sees you praying and honors that. You don't have to do things in public to prove to people that you're somebody. You need to know who you are before God, your Father. Are you tracking with me?
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe and the first half of his message entitled The Position Trap, which is from Pastor Mark's new series called Identity Theft. Please tune in again on next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. And as I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app that you can find at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other great messages that you can download to help you with your spiritual walk. You can also contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300 if you would prefer to have a CD. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also would like to invite you to visit one of our New Life campuses. There are 25 New Life churches throughout Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Please do tune in again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message, and please do tell a friend. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great evening, and God bless.